We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
And you're like, oh, well, we'll just get another man for the village. I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting that, like, we are more susceptible or sensitive to pain because it's training us to be very careful because we need to, like, be whole for the family. I don't know. It was a theory. I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. So there's that, too. I don't know.
I want merch that says we'll get another man for the village.
Yeah. Put that in a tote bag.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Finding Mr. Hype podcast. I am Erica Spira.
And I'm Allie Jackson. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We are here. We are, again, back from Costa Rica, I guess, having an adjustment period back to real life. And I am in LA, and I am technically 1 for 3 on the dates. On the dates this past week,
technically 1. I would say a very small 1.
Yeah,
I don't know if we really want to count it.
Yeah, that's just for dates happening. That's I know that's usually used for wins or losses, but we're just using it right now as a counter for how many dates happen. So I did have my date. To be honest with everybody listening, I'm not going to be sharing too much here from it. I got into it more on the Patreon, and that's just because the end of the date pretty much resulted in me having like somewhat of a breakdown about dating in general. And you know, sometimes you just hit a point, you're like, I don't know what else to do here.
Yeah, man.
And I think I've kind of hit that point with dating apps specifically. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been there, and I know that I know the patrons really appreciated, you know, your vulnerability there, and I totally get not kind of wanting to rehash the whole thing. I think I've definitely been there. Like, feel like you're like banging your head against a wall. Like, I'm doing fucking everything I'm supposed to be doing, and yet still having these shitty experiences.
Yeah, and you know, I was newer to this podcast, but I've been podcasting about dating and, like, I feel like actively dating since 2019, I would say. And that's when I started Shooters with Molly. And it just, it's like one of those things. I'm like, man, I've hit a point. I'm like, I really feel like I have tried everything. So I'm a little just frustrated and feel like, if this is the result from trying, then why try? And those are just kind of my honest thoughts and feelings at the moment with really, really just a lot of dating stuff. Because, you know, I talked about it last week, but it's like I have some career things that are like weighing on me where I'm like, you need to be putting more time here. And I kind of just feel this like, well, you can't do everything. You know, you can't. Mm-hmm. You really can't. And or at least for me, I don't know if you've ever felt this way. It's like I have never made dating my main focus. And essentially the past like couple weeks I did. And so then when it's your main focus and it is just not happening, my answer is just like, well, then fuck this. Just
yeah.
Fuck it. Like, this is why I don't make this my main focus in a way. You know, does that make sense? Like, obviously, I'm still doing other stuff, but in terms of like my nights and my free time, I really left open to be able to make something happen.
I was going to ask, have you ever felt this way before? But like, so you haven't made dating your full focus in this way before, but have you felt this like really severe burnout before that you're feeling now? Or is this kind of a new feeling?
No, I have. I'd say like I was a little bit in the fall, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's I don't know. I'll be honest. It's like, if I didn't have this podcast, I don't know what my like dating life would have looked like this past year as a whole, like, to be fair, you know? Mm-hmm. Or it felt like it never was the focus because I just had plenty of other stuff going on where I was like, oh, I'll fit in a date when I can and, you know, whatever. Vacation energy, kind of. but I guess now that I'm like more settled in one place, it's kind of like you go, okay, I finally have like stuff aligned and I can finally really make something happen and I can really be here and available for just not only dates, but like for someone.
Right.
Right. It's like we can always fit in a date, but then you look at your life and you go, well, do I really have the capacity to like truly be a partner to somebody?
Right. Well, then you have to spend time with that person that you met on the date.
Yeah. Or as we get into our episode, even with friendships, it's like, can you, what was the word she used? Literally, it's time, but what was the phrase she
hours
used?
Clocked?
Yeah, clocking hours.
Yeah, clocking hours.
Right. It's almost like we say, what, for skills and things like that, like, you got to have 10,000 hours. It's almost like, well, it's probably relationships too, right? Like, maybe it's, you don't, you're not really an expert in someone until you get 10,000 hours or something, you know?
Yeah, so Danielle mentioned in our, we'll get into our episode, which was amazing, side note, but one of the things that she said was that going from an acquaintance to close friend takes 34 hours with someone.
No, she said 3 to 4.
I thought she said 34. I'm pretty sure she said 34.
No, 3 to 4.
Are you sure?
That's what she said, like, oh, if you keep doing like quick coffee dates with
people. She said over several months.
Well, think about this. When, you know, think about newer friends in your life. How much time did you spend with them before you were like, oh, my friend? And like she says, you know, you don't think it's like your absolute closest bestie, obviously, but like, what is the difference between acquaintance and friends? I feel like it's like that one-on-one time.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's, now I know why when she said that, I was like, holy shit, that would take forever. It's because I thought she said 34.
Oh, yeah. Because when you said that, I was like, damn, Allie, how tight are you booking yourself?
No, I thought
that's
she
what I thought in my head.
34 hours is a lot of time.
Yeah. Which I was like, at least I don't work that way. So maybe I heard it differently because I was like,
no, 3 to 4, it would be much more achievable.
Yeah. I'm like, but anytime I have a newer friend, it's like, yeah, usually just hanging out a couple times. And what is that? Usually an hour. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, I really like being around this person. I feel like I know them pretty well. And like, take it from here. Keep on going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, damn, we should have clarified that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I just assumed I'd heard it right, but maybe I did not. I thought
it was 3 to 4. Now I'm like, I guess listen to this episode and tell us which one is right.
Tell us what you think. We could just ask her. I could just ask her.
Well, because when she said acquaintance, I was like, yeah, acquaintance is someone I have never hung out with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's why I took it in my head. I'm like, yeah, there's plenty of comedians I know, but when people are like, are you friends? I'm like, oh, we've never really had like a text conversation about anything.
3 to 4 makes a lot more sense than what I heard.
Yeah. Especially a lot of times when I do like gigs with comedians, that's really when you feel like you're like, oh, we're friends, because you'll have like a 3-hour car ride. It's like, well,
yeah,
we're gonna talk this whole car ride. Everybody contribute. But anyway, yeah, like I said last week, I'm like, I just have so much stuff coming up that it's almost like I think I just kind of felt in like a pressure cooker this month that I kind of was like, well, this is your month that you have the opportunity. And now I'm like, we're recording this April 15th. Happy tax day. And so it's just like, well, now your month is half over. And I have two more weekends, and then I'm back to like...
And then you're back here, yeah.
I'm booked up. Yeah, I'm only back there a couple days. But anyway, the point is just, like I said, where you go, is this really the best time to go on a first date when I do not have an answer of when I could fit in a second?
Right.
So it kind of just... Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of sucks a little bit. That's where I'm at right now. Sorry to bring the mood down of the pod, but
it really sucks.
The truth. Yeah. So I'm just kind of like, I'm in a mindset of like, I don't really know what to do. I mean, I did end up going to that speed dating event I mentioned.
Yeah, you said that was great, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really good. Her name is Chemda Dating, Chemeya. She has like different dating events. Actually, in a few different cities, if you look up her Instagram. So I know she has LA and San Francisco, I think, are two she does the most. But yeah, I mean, hey, it was a speed dating event, but there is a little bit of a matchmaking element to it, because when you fill out your info, you give kind of some more deal breakers and things and, you know, a headshot and whatever. So then she emailed you back, all the people, and you're supposed to submit if you felt you had any like matches. Yeah. So I submitted some people, and then I did get one match. And I got my email today. Yeah. So I guess we both just have each other's cell phones. And so far, no one has made the first move. But
oh, so it's anyone. You just get each other's contact information, and then it's like a free for all. Like anyone can reach out.
Yeah. You know, either obviously we match. We both said yes. But
yeah, yeah.
Then it's kind of like to be continued, to be determined. You know, no pushing, which I'm fine with. Not complaining.
Do you think you'll reach out?
I don't know, because as always, you know, there's, I mean, you know, it's an event that there's a lot of women. So I'm like, I don't know how many matches he got. And if he got a lot of matches and I'm not kind of at the top of that where he wants to reach out and set up a date with me,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. And I just am like, well, all right, you know, and specifically the person I matched with is like a fan of comedy. He knew some comedians that are not huge level that I was like, oh, you really like comedy. And I don't mean that as a dig to them, but he was like, oh, do you know these people? I'm like, oh, I do. So there was also part of me being like, I'm curious. I feel like it must be in a dating sense, but there was part of me that was like, oh, it might not be.
Like he's just a fan or like wants to get to know a
not
comedian?
Not a fan of me or that I'm worried he'd be a fan. It's like a, oh, maybe you almost mean this in like a friendship way. I don't know.
Hmm.
And obviously, I'm probably just a little more in my head because I just didn't have a great week. So I'm just like, we'll see. We'll see for that. But because I also feel like it's like, well, we both said yes. So if you ask me out, I'll say yes.
Yeah, it's a sure thing.
Like, yeah, it's a sure thing. So that's kind of why I'm like, all right, so ask me out if you want to make it happen, you know? But yeah, that's kind of it for me. I'm supposed to have a date Thursday. I don't have any details confirmed. So to be determined. But to be honest, I'm feeling like I might end up canceling it, unfortunately.
Because of him or just because of your general vibe of how you're feeling?
I mean, both. Like, there isn't anything that's really drawing me to go. Like, both of just general vibe and, like, him. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but kind of the process I've had with just, like, getting a date, rescheduling, the communications has been a little shitty. And now my guard is definitely up higher.
Understandably.
So I'm kind of like, if I go on another date that's like that last date, I'm like, well, then I'm really going to tap out, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just leaving the ball in his court and I'll see, or maybe I'll switch it to a phone call and go back to doing that. And I don't know, see if that gives me like a little more success, but.
Yeah, maybe that would feel a little better too. I know you were like feeling good about it when you were doing that.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. If anything, though, it didn't like prove success either, but it was at least like less of my time.
Yeah, it like felt better, it seemed.
Yeah, there was one I was bummed about, though, because I felt hit it off and we're having a great combo. And then he kind of moved into like hookup territory. And I was like, oh,
right.
This did not do what the purpose was for this. So,
yeah,
you know, but I'll try anything twice. You know, I'm open-minded.
Yeah.
Or at least trying to be. Right. Yeah. But what about you? Anything to share?
So I'm back from Costa Rica. I have still yet to talk to Mr. Worldwide since he left for his trip, like since we had our like final text exchange, which was over 2 weeks ago at this point. It was a 2-week trip, and I don't know exactly when he gets back. So he could still be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't talked to him. And it kind of like you said about if it weren't for this pod, you don't know like what dating would have looked like for you over the last year. If it weren't for this pod, I don't think I would have realized that we hadn't spoken.
Oh, yeah. Like we're like, oh, what are my updates?
Exactly. Where I'm like, oh, listening back to last week to be like, oh, what did I talk about last week? Oh, yeah, I talked about Mr. Worldwide. Oh, yeah, I haven't talked to him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I was just on a walk with my neighbor right before this. And was telling her about everything. And we actually ran into a podcast listener listening to our podcast.
Oh, there you go.
She turned her phone around and was like, I'm listening to you. Like, that is so cool. So hello to Marilyn.
Also quick, I forgot. I ran into 2 podcast listeners at that speed dating event. I mentioned it on Patreon, but I'm not sure if you guys are on Patreon or here. So hello again. And please always say hello. We'll reiterate
always
that again.
Always say hello.
say hi. We appreciate it. We're happy to talk. Please say hello. We love it.
Please,
anyway,
please. Yeah.
Back to the story.
And it was funny because I was telling my neighbor about Mr. Worldwide because I hadn't seen her in a while when I ran into this listener. So I was like, oh, you could get the update on your phone or you could just walk with us. Probably hear more. And I was telling her that. It was like, if I didn't have a place where I was updating about what's going on in my dating life, like, I really don't think that I would realize that we haven't talked. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's obviously not good. Like, that doesn't speak positively about my feelings for him. And it just sucks. I mean, I know I like have said it before, but like, it's just one of those things where like, I've been on the receiving end of your great butt more times mm-hmm. than I can count. Like, I feel like my 20s were defined by your great butt. Like,
do you feel like that's what's happening here?
That I think that no.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was confused. I was like, wait, what? You haven't talked.
I'm the one who thinks that about him in this scenario.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
But I've been on the receiving end of that so many times. And it's so frustrating to feel mm-hmm. like, why the fuck doesn't this guy want to date me? We get along so well. We have so much fun together. He clearly likes me. Like, you know, all of these things. And there's just that thing missing for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fucking frustrating. And it's happened to me before. Like, I've been on this side before, but like, not nearly as many times as I've been on the other side. It just sucks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel like you'll reach out at all to kind of put a bow on it or to go out again? Like, and it's fine if you don't want to. I'm just curious.
I don't think I'll – neither. No is the answer. If he were to reach out to me and be like, hey, I'm back, want to see you again, et cetera, I would go and be mm-hmm. genuinely open to seeing him again. Seeing if like some space, some time, like, you know, can things continue to develop? But I don't think I'll reach out.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I would think it'd be fine if you didn't go out again, if you did reject the invitation.
Oh, yeah.
Because totally. It feels like it is done, is what I'm picking up on.
Probably. But like, I also... I guess if he were to ask me out again, I would want to like really make sure. But my gut tells me that it's not it.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't naturally think of him, that's like basic 101.
Quite bad.
Yeah, it's not great, and it's not because this person isn't a great person.
No, not at all.
And we've all been on the end of the you're really great, but because
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you have an answer to this, but like, if he essentially asked you like, hey, why aren't you into this? What do you think you would say?
I think I would just say I just don't feel the connection that I'm looking for.
Okay, that's fine. But it's, you know what I mean? Like when you get the speech, you're like, well, now I can't give the same speech.
I mean.
You know, you're like, imagine you're like, well, you're really great, but. And you're like, you feel it coming up. And you're like, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say.
There's nothing else to say because like. In the reverse, like let's say that I don't think I would have wanted in actuality, I don't think I would have wanted anything more specific from those guys in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would have been helpful because there's nothing actually constructive for the next person to like that he could be like, oh, maybe next time, da 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 da. Like maybe there's something that I could actually work on as a person. Like there's nothing like that. It's just my own. It's just a personal thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think when I've been on the receiving end that it's like, well, if there was something specific, I would actually like to hear it.
If there were.
Yeah.
If there were something that would be helpful. Like I wouldn't want to hear someone tell me something that like somebody else might not care about. Like if there was a guy who was like, yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, I just wasn't that attracted to you. Like I don't need to hear that.
I mean, that's just mean.
But, yeah.
But maybe this is also just a difference in personality. That like I actually think that helps me get over it if it's something.
True.
Like, you know that I'm less likely to be like, oh, so I'll change myself. You know, as opposed to I feel like in those scenarios I was racking my brain like, what was it? And I have even thought, like, was it attraction? I would almost prefer you say that. Then I'll, like, just be like, oh, fuck that guy. Goodbye.
Never mind.
You know? Like, or that's something that, like, I'm not going to work harder at doing. If it's not there, it's not there. You know?
True.
Or if there was, like, something in my personality, I'd be like, all right, well, I can't fully change my personality either. You know?
Yeah.
So maybe it's, yeah, maybe it depends on the person, but. Just I hate like the vague speech. I've learned to just take it and be like, okay, best of luck. Like,
yeah, it's not.
I've never fought someone. Do you have? Has this ever? I feel like this has happened to you. I can't remember, or at least a friend. I have had people I know go to break up with someone, and the other person just like says no.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes. And how'd the breakup go? And they're like, I guess we're not broken up. I'm like, what do you mean? Is it if one person wants to break up, it's broken up? I don't. What do you mean it's not, you know, like, that's bizarre to me. Like, I have never done that. When I hear that story from people, I'm like, you can do that? You could just be like, nope, I reject your breakup.
That happened to a patron who wrote in.
Yeah.
A while back.
That must be that might be what I'm remembering. Because I'm like, I've had a couple friends be like, I guess we're not. And I just was like, yeah, you are. I was like, go live your life.
You are.
Never answer that man's call. Break up,
that's what you do.
Yeah. You know, I understand someone saying, like, is there something we can do to make this work or try? But if you're like, nope, I'm at the point that it's over. It is over. This is not, we don't need two people to sign this contract. It's one person just needs to go, I'm done. We are broken up. I'm going to behave as such. If you want to pretend to be in a relationship by yourself over there, then you are free to do so. You
know? I'm going to behave as such. For me, we are broken up. You can do whatever you want to do over there by yourself.
I'm just trying to think, like, what would you do if someone said that to you? It was just like, no.
I'd say,
yes.
I did.
What?
I did. So it wasn't quite that stark, but this is reminding me of my breakup conversation with the oyster.
Oh.
The first one, because we had to have a second one because of this. So like,
what did he say? I'm like, what is I cannot wrap my head around this. I would feel like I was talking to a 2 year old. I'd be like, what do you mean no?
I said so. No, I said so. That's the only time that phrase is appropriate. He like, so we had had this like big fight that day. He was visiting in the city because he lived out of state by that time. He was visiting me in the city. So we're like in my apartment and I was gearing up to do it all day. Cause I was like, and we just kept fighting. I was like, I have to do it. And we get back to my apartment and I tried to break up with him. And he literally was like, I think you're calling it too soon. I don't think we should break up. I was like, oh okay. Well, I strongly feel that we should. And he just kept saying it like that. He's a lawyer also, let's remember. But like, he didn't say it in a way, I think if he had just said no, then I would have like become combative and been like, yes, like we're breaking up. But because he was kind of like wordsmithy about it, like he was like, oh, he's like, you don't think we're like calling it too soon? Like, I feel like we can work on it. Like all this stuff. He basically convinced me not to. And then left, like he was already supposed to leave, left. And then the next morning I woke up and was like, wait a minute, no. Like, I don't want to be dating this man.
Yeah. You're like, I slept on it. The answer is still no.
The answer is still no. So then I called him and re-broke up with him, I guess.
Yeah.
But like had to do it again because he thought we were still dating after that initial conversation.
Yeah, and I guess maybe it's a little different if, you know, you've dated someone a much longer period of time, that it's like, I do think it's reasonable to kind of be like, are you sure? Like,
yeah,
is it too early? Is it something we can work on? Like, I don't, you know, I guess I'm an oyster defender in this moment a little bit. But I go, oh, it's not, I don't think it's like the most manipulative thing. You know, it's a natural human reaction to kind of be like, oh, shit, this is news to me. And like,
are you sure?
You're already there. Give me a second, or at least discuss it a little. But
yes,
but a lot of times it was, it's like, yeah,
it was the continuation of that.
Right.
Where like basically, yeah, he started there, and we just never left there. Like we just continued with him being like, I think this is a mistake. And then eventually I was like, I'm okay. And the next day I was like, wait a minute. No.
Yeah. You're like, the jury verdict is in.
Yeah, seriously.
Broken up. That's what the jury said. The jury said, we're done. Case closed.
Case closed. Goodbye.
Case closed. Clearly I'm a lawyer. I know all the phrases. So
Lawyered. I know lawyer all up. The phrases.
Yeah. That's our new term when you break up with someone. We're like, lawyer up.
Lawyer
prepare
up.
Your statement. Prepare your closing.
And we're done.
And we're done.
So that did has happened to me. But back to the vague speech. I feel like that's what I would do if needed. Because I also don't necessarily have like one specific thing. Like it's not like it is a little vague for me anyway. Which is also annoying.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not trying to make you come up with a reason. I'm just saying now that you are in this position.
No, totally.
We've all been there where you're just kind of like, is it anything? And
yeah.
It gives you a little sympathy to all the people that have said this to us.
100%.
Where you're like, yeah, it's not easy. It doesn't feel good if you're, you know, not a psychopath. You're just like
100%. There are a couple like little things that I actually have already mentioned to him that like rubbed me the wrong way. I talked about it early on, like on our first date. He's like he got a little ahead of himself in some of the things he was saying in terms of like the things that he liked about me. Like it felt like I was interviewing to be his wife and I was like passing the wife test on our first date, on our second date.
Was it the things he was asking you or the like projection like, oh, I gotta take you to blah, blah, blah place? Because I remember you mentioning that.
It was that, but it was also the way he was reacting to my answers to things. So it was like he would say something like he would ask a question about how I like to travel, let's say. Or like the way that I like to travel or the way that I like to do this thing. And then I answered. And then his reaction to my answer would be something along the lines of like, oh, perfect. Then like we're going to work out. Or like, okay, we can get married then.
Oh, see, I see that as like joking.
You kind of had to be there. It was joking until there were a lot of those examples.
Yeah, I'm saying benefit of the doubt. I think they mean it in a flattering way, but I understand
definitely
where you're coming from.
He absolutely meant it in a flattering way. It was a little too much. And it would have even been a little too much even if I had been like really into him. Like it still would have felt like a little too much. Mm-hmm. And so those things, though, I'd already mentioned to him. Like I'd already mentioned to him that like, hey, let's take it one date at a time kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything specific beyond that. And that I'd already told him that like kind of was like, ooh.
Yeah. Because I was like, to be honest, I feel like I've said that before, but it never is about anything that actually is like deal breaker heavy. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not like, oh, do you see yourself having kids? And they say yes. And I'm like, good, we're going to work out. You know, like it's over like a dumb. And that's why I'm like, oh, to me, that's just like my sense of humor is being like, I don't know. Say it's like Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC. And I'm like, I was a Backstreet Boys girl. And they were like, Backstreet Boys is way better. And I just go, well, good. I guess we're going to work out. Like that. I'm like, I don't
know. Yeah, or like, oh, we can never get married. Totally. Like, I think that's hilarious.
Right. But if it's about small things, I think it's funny. If it's about big things, it's a little, okay. You know?
Yeah. And like over and over again.
True. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the latest with him. Bumble actually was kind of popping this past weekend.
Makes sense. It's warm.
Yeah, true.
A little sunshine. But like, people want to be out.
In a way that's now a little overwhelming because I got like maybe 8 matches or something like that over the weekend. And I messaged all of them like I usually do. And normally the reply rate is low. And for some reason, 7 of the 8 replied to me, and now I have 7 conversations and I can't deal
with it. Is that too much? How many do you usually do at a time?
2 or 3 is my ideal.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I throw it out there because I'm always like, I don't know who's going to respond. So
Same.
There you go.
But normally, if I were to send 8 openers, I would end up with 2 or 3. Maybe I would get more responses, but I would end up with 2 or 3 like sustained conversations. Mm-hmm. And right now I am having 7 active conversations.
Well, there you go. Make sure you have some free nights.
I don't. So now I'm going to have to start blocking out night 2 weeks from now.
Really? You're booked for 2 weeks straight?
No, but I booked all this week. And then I don't know. I can't go out with all 7 people next week.
Well, I know that. Yeah.
So I have to prioritize. Unless, I mean, some people will probably drop off. That's just how it works. So I'm sure it'll be fine. But today it feels a little overwhelming.
Yeah. I get it. I've gotten swipe happy before. That's actually why I haven't really been using Bumble. Because it feels easy to rack up, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'm not paying for unlimited, at least, if I do it.
Yeah, it truly is.
Well, that's it for updates. So, I guess we got to get to our guest.
I am so excited for people to hear this interview. So excited.
Yeah, it's a second episode of our friendship series. And we took some of your questions and focused on some that Danielle has coming out in her new book. And she was just really wonderful. Great. I feel like we covered a lot of different topics than we did with Ask Hayes. So I'm really excited. I think everyone's going to enjoy this.
Yeah, it's great. Her name is Danielle Bayer Jackson. She's a friendship coach. And I'm pumped. So let's get to Danielle.
Let's do it. So something that I have started incorporating into my daily routine is our new sponsor, Happy Mammoth, and specifically taking their Hormone Harmony. It is plant-based, it is nature-inspired, and it is herbal. I'm a little conscious, so I want to make sure I know what am I putting in my body. I want to be taking the right type of things. They have got it down at Happy Mammoth.
Yeah, they're really dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They really make no compromise when it comes to quality. I have really been appreciating it for when I'm feeling like a little off or down around that time of the month. Because I have an IUD, I don't get a period. So it often surprises me when I'm at that time of the month. And this has really helped level me out in those times.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to manage PMS, their estro control specifically. It also is helpful if you're going through menopause or premenopause as well.
So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use our code FMH at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code FMH for 15% off today.
So Erica, you know I love a fancy drink, and something that's been really helping me to do that without consuming more alcohol than I want to is Recess Zero Proof Craft Mocktails. They're 0% alcohol, made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and honestly taste just like your favorite cocktails, but without the alcohol.
I like to have a few things in my fridge that give me a little bit of flavor, and their flavors are amazing. They have the lime margarita, grapefruit paloma, ginger lime mule, watermelon mojito. One of those has to sound good to you. I think they're all great.
My personal favorite is the watermelon mojito. That one is so good. I recently had a few people over and pulled them out of my fridge. They had never tried them before. They're now hooked. They've ordered Recess mocktails. We're spreading the word.
I'm not a day drinker, but I want to go for the hang. And it's the perfect thing to bring to those scenarios that you're like, I'm here, I'm having fun, I got something in my hand. But if you're not a day drinker like me, then a Recess mocktail might be perfect for you.
You can get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And we are back with Danielle. Hi, Danielle. Welcome to Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to jump in today.
We're so excited you're here. Yeah. Yeah. So you have a book coming out, Fighting for Our Friendships. You've done a lot of research about friendships, both you know, female or not female, whatever, whatever we are here listening, we have a lot of advice ready to go for all the listeners here. So real quick, how did you get into the friendship space? What made you want to get into this stuff?
Yeah. So I always joke that, you know, it certainly wasn't on my vision board when I was 10, like I'm going to be a friendship. But I actually started as a high school English teacher and did that for about 6 years. And I worked my way up to the academic chair. So I'm leading a large department of 35 teachers. But what was interesting is it was the number one thing students wanted to talk about between classes and after school. And I saw, I had a front row seat to how issues of connection and belonging directly impacted everything else. Their confidence, their academic performance, their mood, their attendance, depending on whether or not they felt like they had people at school. Mm. And when I was the academic chair, the teachers during our meetings, we'd be talking about like, oh my gosh, are you seeing this in your classroom too? And so when I left the world of education, I got into public relations for a little bit. And I was working with these, I mean, impressive, charismatic, high-achieving, extroverted women. And it didn't take me long before I saw, oh, privately, secretly, they too have friendship issues. Maybe at this level, they look like they have a squad, but they privately are deeply unsatisfied with the friendships that they've curated throughout their life. And so long story short, for the past 6 years, I've been leveraging my background in education to study what the research has to say about women's cooperation, communication, and conflict.
That's so cool. I remember when I first followed you on TikTok and I like found out that you used to be a teacher and I was like, this makes total sense. Like, like you're the way that you communicate and like, it's just like so clear and really just well done. And it just makes a lot of sense. I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. This person teaches.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Yeah, it's so funny because when I was like considering leaving the classroom, I was really nervous because I thought like, man, I can't do anything else. Like I'm just a teacher, you know, and we know teachers are more than that, but that's how I felt. And so it's just interesting to see how things have been orchestrated in such a way that I still am teaching. It just looks different now, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm amazing. Curious. Do you mind if I ask you a personal question to start?
Why not? Let's just go there.
What do you feel like you personally have struggled with when it comes to friendships?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, well, I think we all have some things, you know?
Yeah, sure. I know. I just want to look perfect in front of you, okay? I think personally, I think one issue is actually exactly what I'm doing right now of like wanting to look like I have it together has been a deep barrier to closeness in my friendships. So that means you don't ask for help. That means when friends are like, are you good? Yeah. You're not taking your troubles to your friends, which is supposed to be you reaping one of the benefits of friendship is you have people to help you carry your burden, you know, or even small things like inviting friends over to your house. That can feel vulnerable if you're trying to be the perfect hostess and things aren't together. And so I'm that's something I still struggle with. But the times when I do lean in to allow them to see me messy, those are the friendships where I feel the closest. So it just makes sense.
It's interesting that you say that because we've gotten a few questions like over the years and the episodes and people that write in about feeling like they have these surface level friendships and especially trying to make friendships, deep friendships as an adult. Yeah. I'm curious, like what do you personally do or what have you done or what advice do you have for kind of getting to that next level, like you said, of the messy?
Yeah. So I this is actually one of my favorite questions because I get the question of like, how do you make friends a lot? And that's very important to be equipped with that knowledge. But I'm personally especially interested in the deepening, right? Because especially for people who are, you know, charismatic or who are like, I don't have an issue making friends, but I don't know how to deepen them. I think the reason why this, and I'll give you two tips in a second, but I think the reason why this hits me so hard is because the research tells us, you know, the longest running study on happiness has come out of Harvard. Okay. And they analyzed all these different factors to see what makes people happy. And over all this time, it kept coming back to the same thing. And the number one thing that determines our overall physical well-being and life satisfaction, so our happiness, is the quality of our relationships. The reason why this is relevant is because it's one thing to have a bunch of friends. It's another thing to have good quality, deep friendships, but how do we get there? So two things I say for the person who's like, I want a little more depth. The first is going to seem super obvious, but are y'all clocking hours together? because some of us are not close just because we do not spend time with other people. And I'm not going to digress, but there's like research on how the number of hours we spent with friends is decreasing. The number of hours we're spending alone as Americans is going up. So a lot of us are like, oh, I don't feel close to other people. And when I ask how many hours on average do you spend with your friends? Oh, like one. Okay. So a part of it would be intentional about clocking hours with people because the research finds that it takes 3-4 hours to take somebody from an acquaintance to a friend. So right there, my first tip for a person who's like, I want more depth, get clear on who like your top people are, let's say 3 people. And what are you doing to clock hours? Because for those of us who are extroverts, we're overextended. We want to do coffee dates with 15 people. So you're tired and you are not known by these people. Mm-hmm. Who are my 3 girls who I want to be intentional about? What can I do to clock some hours is number one. And then the second thing would just be, think about the ways in which you're trying to like be together in front of people, the things that feel like a social risk to share or to do, and allowing yourself to have the courage to do and say some of those things. That's vulnerability. That will help in the deepening as well.
Damn.
34 hours like today.
Yeah. That's not what I was going to say.
Go ahead, Erica.
No, I'm thinking about how long it would take to get to that with a new person.
Sure. And that could be over like 4 or 5 months, you know, because if we think about it, what's the rush, you know, to like, I really, really want to be deep. If I'm being, you know, intentional about it, I think the study where this came out of, they suggest, you know, over the span of like 5.5 months of feeling like I truly trust you. You're my girl. You have my back. Not only are you telling me things about yourself, but I get to observe it too, right? Because sometimes we meet a new friend and they're telling us, yeah, you know, I'm the kind of person that, okay, that's cool. I need to see that. What are you like when you get mad? What are you like when I do something that disappoints you? How do you treat young people and old people? You know, like I don't know that unless I observe that. You know, do you keep my business to yourself when I share something and I told you that was confidential? So over time, I get to really see and experience you in a more meaningful way, and hopefully it's worth it, you know?
No, I was going to say what you were saying actually reminded me of, and it happened to me today, so this is why it's fresh on the mind. But like when you'll have friendships that are deep friendships, you did get deep, and then you're in that space where you feel like you've lost touch, right? It's the same thing. It's like, well, are you clocking any time? And there was a friend of mine I hadn't talked to in a while, and I thought of her, and I like was taking a break from doing work, and I was like, let me just call her. Let me see if she picks up. And we talked on the phone for like an hour, 15 minutes, and you feel like, oh, we're back.
Yeah,
here we are. We're right back. We just needed to catch up. Like, I just needed a little, it wasn't even FaceTime, just on the phone talking. What's new with you? What's up? Catching everybody up. And it's amazing that in an hour, you're like, oh, this is immediately back to feeling like one of my closest friends.
I love that. Perfect example. Yes.
So your book also has a lot of research around the influences that our friends have on romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What piece of research do you feel like stuck out to you the most?
Yeah. So it's so interesting because I hear people talk about like compartmentalizing it, right? Like my dating life and my friendship life and my, and I mean, the truth is like both of those things influence the other. So there's research that finds that romantic couples who each have friends outside of the relationship, they're happier than the couples that don't have friends outside of the relationship. So that's important because it's stabilizing to the relationship to have other people, you know, for 2 reasons. One, I have somebody else to vent to. So it kind of buffers some of the tension in my relationship because I can go and take this perspective somewhere else and kind of like get it out, you know? And then also because my person romantically can't be my everything. And so when I have other people to tend to other interests and things like that, it helps me to feel more satisfied just like overall. And so I think that's just really important because sometimes we treat them like separate things, but they're not.
Do you think that No, I know that you mentioned in your book that kind of shifts throughout your life. Like what is, when you think about how the dynamic between your friendships and your romantic relationships changes through maybe like your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, like are there significant changes that happen there?
Yeah, sure. You know, there's some research by Robin Dunbar that suggests that we only have the cognitive capacity to maintain like a certain number of social connections. And he argues that you only have the capacity to maintain 3 to 5 ultra close relationships. Okay. And then outside of that, like if you thought of that as like a little circle of 5 people and then rings outside of that, you know, the ring outside of that, like 10 to 15 people of like close friends, you know, but 5 like super close friends. But the research finds that when you get a romantic partner, he or she takes up two of those five spots. Mm-hmm. Because of all that is required. I mean, come on, to like, you're clocking hours together. You have to be emotionally available. Like, you're doing a lot with this one central person. So it kind of factually is going to decrease the time with friends and things like that. But we all know that's a point of tension. Your friends feel like they are not prioritized. You're trying to balance it, the whole thing. And so, you know, just depending on where you are in life, depending on how you prioritize romantic relationships, depending on the kind of friends you have and their view of partnership, all of that can kind of waver. And I think it's just constantly about finding a balance. I mean, we're going to always be doing that. How do I balance work and friendship, dating and friendship? How do I let my friends know they're important to me? How do I, you know, do things in my life that support the claim or the value? Because we always say, like, oh, of course I prioritize my friends. But if they feel like, wow, you're constantly canceling plans with me for him, you're constantly bringing him to girls' night, like, we can't get you alone anymore. We don't know the difference between your identity and his, you know, so you're trying to figure out, well, how do I make both parties happy? And it can be tricky.
Yeah, I feel like when you start dating someone, it's like the time with them is at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then the longer you date them, the more like the partner becomes number one, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like society culture, it's like understandable that, oh, who you're with, your partner, whether it's once you're married or just serious, whatever the level is, it's like partner first. Then it's usually we accept family. Like, of course, family next, right? And then friends are kind of at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Because there's a question where it's like, who's more important? Who comes first, your partner or your friends? And I feel like often we would answer that question with like, well, what point of the relationship am I in with my partner? Mm,
yeah, that's good.
You know, like, because, and it's very hard to balance that. It's like every day you almost have to maybe look at it and go, who deserves my time? Who needs more of my time? Who needs just me more in their life as a friend? Because I agree. I think it just comes from, like you said, just clocking the hours. Like, mm-hmm. if your partner is your first person that you text to do things and hang out with, of course they're going to start to take up two of those very close friendships and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you feel like society is just more accepting of like putting your partner first over, it feels like, almost anybody? Or is that just women?
I totally think that there's a cultural expectation that once you are partnered, this person is your primary person. And someone's book I can't recommend enough if this is like a topic of interest for people, but it's called The Other Significant Others by Raina Cohen, who's mm-hmm. a journalist. It's so good. She's talking about what would our world look like if we prioritize friendship in the same way. Like, your life partner was like a platonic friend, or if you wanted to adopt a kid, but with a friend, you know. She just really challenges this idea, and it'll really like change your mind on something. So I recommend that for people. But yeah, you know, and if you are like, actually, I kind of do believe, you know, that my partner comes first. I do believe, sure. But all I can say is it at least helps to front load the conversation with friends, or what do you have planned to help them to know they matter, they are top of mind. Because yeah, it's going to feel hurtful. It's going to make them feel like they were a placeholder. It's going to make them feel like, you know, they're disposable. If this person comes first with your time, your vacations, your emotional, everything to the partner, like, sure, that's going to have some kind of impact on your friends. But I think at least having a conversation with friends of like, hey, you know, we're trying to figure things out, you know, newlyweds, this and that, but can we keep our Friday morning FaceTimes? Because I'm going to make sure no matter what's going on, we need to check in. You know, it's a mm-hmm. little thing. It's a small gesture, but it helps anxious friends who are not sure about the security of the friendship, or who might be feeling like forgotten. It's something to offer them to help them know I'm still here and you still matter. And I'm still intentional about taking time for you. So what can you offer them to help them to know that? But I think friends understand when there's a new relationship that forms. I think the average reasonable person understands things are going to shift a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like it's very accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Something that you've said in a video I watched of yours was not to reserve romance for a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. And I like really loved that. It really resonated with me because I think that speaks to what you're saying about continuing to nurture your friendships. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to hear from you, like, what does that mean to you to be able to continue to do that?
Yeah. So when we think about romance, we do tend to conflate it with sexuality. And, you know, romance, like, even if you look up the definition, it says something to the effect of like to delight in and to surprise, like something like that, right? And I'm like, oh, wait a second, you could do this with your friend. You know, so I recently went on, you know, TikTok Live. We go live every Monday. And that was the topic of like how to romance our friends, which seems kind of weird at first. You're like, wait, what? You know, but like, we're not talking sexual. We're just saying an element of romance in the friendship. So then we were brainstorming together in the comments. We're just like, what are all the things that you want the guy in your life to do that you're dating? Like, what things would be kind of nice? And then we generated a list and I was like, right, go do that for your friends. Buy me flowers. Remember the important dates that I shared with you. Take me out. Be like, oh, I thought you might like this restaurant. I'm picking you up at 7 o'clock on Friday. You know, telling you that you like in random moments, wow, you look really pretty in this light right now. Like you look so amazing. You know, like those things that you wish someone else would do. Why can't we do that for our friend in a safe and appropriate way? But if there are certain experiences that we have kind of subconsciously reserved for, well, once I get a partner, I can buy a house. Some people are challenging that and living with friends. You know, once I get a partner, I can finally travel the way I want to. You could do that now with your friends. So I just challenge people, certain things that you've kind of just in your brain, messages you've downloaded about what things you can finally enjoy once you are partnered, I challenge you to see if there are any of those things you could be enjoying right now, single with your friends.
I love that so much. Paris is my favorite city on the planet besides New York. New York will have my heart forever. But Paris is my favorite city other than that. And I speak pretty decent French. I didn't go to Paris until I was 30 because I thought that it was supposed to be a romantic vacation with my boyfriend. And I was like, well, I don't have that to go. And will I just be so sad while I'm there that there are all these couples in love everywhere? And I went and I absolutely loved it. And I'm like, man, I wish I'd gone sooner.
That's good. I'm glad you did.
I was going to say, I feel like if anything right now, the chatter online from a lot of women is being like, well, we'll date these men and they don't measure up to my friendships. My friendships are doing all the things you said. Like, it's my birthday. They're like, what are we doing for your birthday? Let's make a reservation. Let's like, and stuff that isn't even these like giant romantic gestures, like you said. And you're like, I see the way my friends show up for me in my life that you're like, it's not crazy the expectations I have from a partner to do so. And that's the moment I feel like you talk about a little bit of like, you know, how your friends can be chiming in on your relationship and almost influencing it. And I think a lot of times it's because like, I mean, at least for me, it's like my girls have my back where they're like, I do that for you. He should be doing
that. I treat
you
better than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm doing better than that. And I'm in a relationship and I got a mortgage to pay and I got work and I got shit to do too. And I still show up, you know, like that's really when they judge, when it's like, they didn't do anything for your birthday. They didn't do anything for that. Like, and I feel like if anything, I'm like, God, the strength of female friendship sometimes makes us look at dating and go, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to buy a house with my friend. Like, you know what I mean? Like my friend's actually going to help me around the house, figure this shit out.
Right. You know? Right. Oh like, my God. Yes.
You know, like, oh God. So it's so many things.
I know. And that gets into like a whole bunch of other things that I'm not totally well versed in, but I know that that even brings up the topic of just like, you know, like for a lot of men, if we're talking about men specifically, a lot of them they don't even experience emotional intimacy outside of being with a woman. But we've been doing that with our friends since forever, like talking about feelings and just what are you going through? And I'm here for you. We've been doing that. And for a lot of men, they have not experienced that kind of depth connection, that kind of emotional labor outside of having a girlfriend, like doing it with this one person. And so it's just, I don't know. That's the whole other thing. But yeah, what you see. Yes.
Yeah. Or often the men that do have that emotional intelligence, what do they typically have? A lot of female friendships. So then you start dating that guy and you're like, I don't really like that this woman's always around and so close to you. You know, like we've all had that feeling like, why? How much you texting? How much you hanging out? And it's like, well, that's the reason they are more emotional in these conversations. It's like, because they have women in their life they're close to, whether it's a friend or like a sister, their mom, like whoever, you know, and then, and then the problem sometimes becomes now we get territorial just because it is like someone who's the same sex as we are, you know?
So true.
So that's I've had conversations with my guy friends about, and they've said to me, like, we'll be talking about something, or like one of them went through a breakup kind of recently and we were talking about it. And he was like, do you do this with all your friends? Is this? And I'm like, oh, buddy, this is pretty surface level.
Yeah.
Like, we're not even really digging deep here. And he's like, damn, are you guys just sitting around talking about this? I'm like, yes, we are.
Yeah. Oh, they're so, yeah, they're hilarious. Yeah, it's tricky, and it's funny because we only wrote about this just very briefly in the book, but you know, we're talking to researchers who study communication specifically, and they were talking about how there's research that suggests that women have higher expectations in their close relationships. That's both romantic and platonic. We have higher expectations than men do, which accounts for disappointment in other ways, et cetera, et cetera. But I was saying that like the number one thing women look for in their same-sex friendships is emotional support. Number one. Like that's the reason I'm here. If you can't give me this, okay, right? So, you know, there are studies that find that women who can't offer sufficient emotional support, especially verbally, tend to have social consequences. And, you know, we did not touch much on this in the book, but I have even heard that from women who are maybe on the spectrum who say like, oh my gosh, I think that's why I struggle because certain cues, certain things we just know to say to one another or things to not say. We just know, right?
We read the room. But,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It feels very much like read the room. Women who don't pick up on that or who don't offer the right support, they feel dismissive or reductive or not sensitive to what you just said. We kind of were like, And they find themselves very isolated. So these grand expectations with emotional support at the forefront can account for issues in other ways, but that seems to be like the heart of women's friendships. Absolutely.
Something else you touched on in the book was the fragility of female friendship, but in the sense that we get a lot of questions every time we talk about friendship breakups and people going through that. And something that you touch on in the book is that women experience that at a much higher rate than men, which when you first hear it sounds like women are just breaking up with friends and men never do. But the reality when you like dig in a little bit is that the closeness is just there more often for women. And when you're making more deep connections, you're just more likely to have them broke.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And the simplest way to put it is you're not falling out with people you're not close to. You don't care. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you know, when you hear on the surface of it, like, oh, women are having more friendship breakups than men. Okay, well, yeah. But the research also shows that, you know, while men integrate their friends into their lives to the degree of a cousin, that women integrate their friends into their lives to the degree of a sibling. And we have more platonic intimacy in our friendships. And we have higher expectations. We're bringing all of ourselves. Like, I don't just see you as my workout buddy. I see you as like my workout buddy. And I also want to talk about like my job sometimes with you. And I want to share about my like breakup. And then can you help me babysit my kids? Like, you're all the things. So yes, it's probably going to hit different. If there's some perceived violation, it's going to hit different because we're so deeply interwoven into each other's lives. But for a man, and I know I'm generalizing here, but let's take a man whose situation is he only talks to his friends every 3 months, or when they do get together, they're talking about current events and they still don't know what the other one does for a living or whether or not his wife had the baby yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're probably not fussing at each other. You're probably not feeling betrayed by certain things because the expectations are a lot lower and the degree of closeness sometimes is a lot less. And so no, it wouldn't make sense that you're breaking up because it wasn't that deep to begin with. And so I know a lot of women feel a lot of shame maybe around friendships ending, like what's wrong with me? But a lot of times, yeah, if you're super close to these women, it doesn't mean you're destined for it to fall apart, but there's a chance because there's so much at stake.
Yeah, you feel it more. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm curious, what is your advice on how to handle when you disagree with your friend's choices? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, and not to step on your answer, but I recently was talking to a friend about like, we said essentially like a good friendship though, someone that is a good friend should call you out a little bit and hold you a little accountable sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a very hard balance of like when and how much.
And how.
And should you know what I mean? Because we all have people in your life you're like, it never goes well. I've tried. It doesn't go well. It's like, and they didn't want to hear it. You know what? If someone doesn't want to hear it, then I'm always like, I'm on team, like, don't even try. Like, back off. They got to be in a place where they're asking for advice for you to give any advice, you know, type of thing. But I don't know what advice or anything you found on like handling that essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. There, we initially had like a bunch of things in the book and had to cut some things, and we cut some things on accountability. And I'm like, gosh, I wish we kept it, but I'll share now, like accountability is a big thing. where I feel like, okay, what's my role here in calling out something that we both know is obviously not okay for you, but I also know, right, we know now emotional support's the number one thing, right? So it feels risky saying I disagree, because now do I risk looking like I'm not being supportive? It's it feels like a dance sometimes, because it's important to her to feel supported, but what if I actually don't? What do I do, right? And so it's kind of a dance between accountability and how much do I release her to make her own decisions? How much am I attached to her doing what I want her to do? And I have recently had somebody ask me this question. So, you know, I'll say here, keeping somebody accountable means I gently remind you of the commitments you made. I gently remind you of the standards you set. So if you said, hey, you know, I really want to get better about eating better, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like eating fast food. Do I say nothing? Like if you start binging all week, do I say nothing? If you say, hey, I really want to be mindful of my spending because it's really important to me, like buy this house next year. And I see you going on trips and this and that. Do I say nothing? What's my role here? And so accountability means I gently remind you of what you said you wanted for yourself. And it's kind of not realistic to expect that if I'm your friend and you set a goal in front of me, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then I see you act in contradiction to that. Psychologically, my brain's not going to allow me to see that and say nothing because I want you to win. So let me remind you, hey, last week you said, you sounded pretty serious when you said that you kind of wanted to do the gym and stuff like that. But I know this week you're saying that you don't want to do it. What's happening? Like, help me understand. Or what's changed? You know, I'm highlighting the gap between what you said you wanted and what you're doing right now. But I'm not shaming you, because shame means you are making somebody feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to win. And so I'm going to remind you out of love, I care about you. So I want you to reach that goal you set last week. You said that you're not going to mess with that guy anymore because you hate the way he makes you feel about yourself. Then next week, you're like,
you're messing.
I mean, you know, we talked about it and he said, you know, so you're like, oh, what do I do here? I would say, you know, last week you were telling me that, you know, you hate the way you feel with him and you sounded pretty serious. And this week you're saying like you guys are going out on dates. Now I'm here to support you. You know, I got your back, but I guess I'm just kind of concerned because I don't want you to feel like you did last week. Help me understand. Okay. That's me giving tough love and coming at you with love but with a certain directness, and hopefully the right friends can receive it. But I always say, give your friend a little bit of grace if she doesn't respond well at first, because it's embarrassing and it's really hard to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. It's a reminder that you failed. It's a reminder that you said you were going to do something and you didn't. And that's embarrassing, but we have to be able to take feedback too. But the last thing I'll say is when it comes to like releasing a friend to her choice, you would have to decide. I mean, that's situational. Okay. Is this something that I kind of push here? Or do I say, hey, you know, my stance on that, but I know that you've got to live your own life, girls. So, you know, especially if it's not a matter of immediate harm, it's just super annoying. At some point, I have to release my friend. I have to release her to her own choices, because to some degree, she still has to be able to maintain some sense of autonomy in the friendship. So go ahead and make your choices. We talked about it a million times. You already know how I feel. You know, at some point, I have to be like, all right, girl, do your thing. You know?
Yeah. Or we've all been the person that we're not being accountable to our own 100%. Whatever we said. And we know. And I think that's usually when we get defensive. It's like, I know I said I wanted to eat better and I'm having a piece of cake. I'm aware.
Right. Can you just support me though? Can you just support me and go get me some cake?
Right. Or whatever it is. Or you're just like, oh, I know I'm fucking up. Like, and so sometimes the perspective to be like, you know, devil's advocate is you're sitting there like, yeah, I know. I don't need you to point it out. I already have, like, in my own head, you know, but I agree that like the blind just always supporting isn't always the best thing either. But right, I think you nailed it with the, like, women want support. So the minute you feel like someone's shaming you or not supporting you, we're very quick to be like, you're not a real friend. And it's like, it actually might be the most real friend you have, you know?
Yeah. And I actually like this conversation of like being a girl's girl is like so hot right now. And people are defining it different ways. But being a girl's girl doesn't mean I say, yes, girl, to
everything. I support every girl doing every single thing.
Yeah. At some point, is that enabling, right? Like at some point, I'd be like, girl, because I care about you, I cannot let you do XYZ because that doesn't line up with your values. Or you told me that that's a pattern that you want to break. Like at some point, that's not going to go well. Okay. That's not me being a hater. It's out of love for you. It would be hurtful to watch you do this to yourself, you know, and that's something else entirely.
Yeah. I love the way you framed it as pointing out the gaps with the commitments that they've made to themselves versus like imposing what you would do in a situation that's not, like you said, no immediate harm. Like it's not, you know, there's not an objective like right or wrong. I think that a lot of us fall into that trap sometimes. I know you've talked about like female friendships having a lot of sameness and how that is a very important part of female friendship. But sometimes I feel like that can go so far where we feel like we're so same as our friends that we expect them to react the same way that we would or make the same choices.
Totally. Totally. And I know I've definitely done it where it's something that brings us together is being able to say like, oh my God, she's so me. Like she gets me. She like, that's so energizing. I totally get it. But what room does she really have to like make diverging choices, opinions before you start to conflate it with her character? And again, I'm going to be honest with you. I have to work on this today. Like I, like when it happens, I mean, I don't know, I hope this doesn't sound too woo-woo, but I have to like coach myself in the moment to maintain, to keep my head straight. So let's say a friend makes a choice. So recently a friend told me about a parenting choice that she made that I think is like not okay. And so like kind of like hinted at it like, oh, what, girl? You know, and she was like, I mean, whatever. And was justifying. It looked like she wasn't budging. And this is the decision she made of what she wants to do with her kids. I think it's like not okay. But there's like this split second, I think sometimes where you discover a friend's choice. And instead of being like, ooh, I disagree with that, we slip into conflating it with her character. So it's so quick where you'll be like, ooh, that's not okay. I can't believe she thinks like that. I don't know that I can be friends with a person who thinks like that. Like it gets so big. You know, and so, yes, I acknowledge sometimes like a series of decisions does reflect your character over time. I get it. But sometimes we discover a difference and start to immediately go into thinking like, whoa, I guess we're not as close as I thought, or I guess she's not the person I thought. And then it makes it harder to reconcile because you've blown her up to this person who's just so different. And instead of like, okay, that's her choice. And I know we both love our kids and she made this choice because she believes this is her making a loving choice to keep her kids safe. And so we have that in common. We love our kids. I just would not make that choice. You know, like having to coach myself even to this day to kind of keep a reasonable mindset where I'm not othering her. And then it becomes harder to stay connected.
Right? And men don't do this. This is a big difference between men and women.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you know, I feel like I've had this conversation with so many guy friends where I'm like, how could you be friends with someone that did XYZ, or even like, let's use cheating as an example. All right. I feel like that's kind of an easy one. I've known guys that have guy friends. They've never cheated, but their guy friend has cheated a lot. And I sit there and I'm like, I don't know if I could be friends with someone that keeps doing that. And men really do compartmentalize, like they are not me. And maybe it's because the friendship isn't that deep, or I don't know, you know, but I'm like, that's one of your closest friends. Like, and like something like that where you're like, oh damn, I don't know if I could. But it's exactly what you said. It's like, oh, because I equate that with your character. Even though if you go, does everyone make mistakes? Yeah, obviously. Sure. I've made mistakes. I've not looked good sometimes in my life. Yeah. But you know, but wow, men really do compartmentalize that, I think, in a different way than women do. But they're like, well, that's not me. I'm not the one cheating. What's the big deal? But you're friends.
100%. 100%. And then I see myself judging, like if I'm like dating, I'm married now, but like if I was dating a guy and then I find out he has friends who have done certain things and he's still friends with them, now I'm looking at my man sideways. Like, I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard. There was one researcher I talked to, her name is Dr. Joyce Benenson, and she's been researching women for like the differences between men and women for decades. And I know things changing as language around gender changes and things like that, you know, but this is what she studies. And her theory, and I just think it's interesting, her theory is that women's friendships are more fragile, or that we're more sensitive to these violations because we need to be whole for like the household, like even if you have kids or not, but she's saying just like evolutionarily in your minds, like you're still wired that like my home needs me. The kids need me to survive. I'm like a life giver. And so she thinks that over time, like that's why we're more sensitive to transgressions from non-kin, because I need to be whole for my family. And I just thought it was interesting of like, whereas a man, like he dies in battle and you're like, oh, well, we'll just get another man for the village. I don't know. But I just thought, I just thought it was interesting that like we are more susceptible or sensitive to pain because it's training us to be very careful because we need to like be whole for the family. I don't know. It was a theory. I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. So there's that too. I don't know.
I want merch that says we'll get another man for the village.
Yeah. Yes. Put that in a tote bag.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, or maybe it's something like there's just more pressure on us to be more things for the house, right, or for the people around, yeah, us. And so, right, it's like, if the guy only fills one role.
Correct.
And you go, then we just got to hire for one role. You know, correct, it's like, yes, you lose the woman, the whole company's under. You know what,
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
We're bankrupt. We're gone. Yeah. There's no company.
Exactly. Nothing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So one thing in your research found that if your partner is friends with your friends, it does help your relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I think a lot of us face this. If you date someone for a long time, and obviously now friends are coming, friends with the partners, and now you break up.
Mm.
I mean, I'm like, do you have a right to tell your friends you don't want them to be friends,
yeah,
with your ex?
How do you handle that
anymore?
Oh, God. That's really tricky. That's really tricky. So I always say, like, I don't give advice. I just, like, share insights that you can use to inform the decisions that you make about your relationships. But I will say this. People in general don't tend to do very well when presented with ultimatums. Mm. So anything that feels to your friends like you need to do this or else might not go over well because it can be a threat to their sense of autonomy, a threat to their sense of agency. Now, you can let them know, hey, I know you guys are still hanging out with Mike. I get you guys have your own friendship. I just want to make sure that like some of the things that we share when we're talking, like, don't go to him because I really am working to keep things private. Like, I'm going to front load the conversation with, I recognize the dynamics are different. Here's how I like things to be. I respect you still have a friendship. I would hope that, you know, if my name comes up, you know, I trust that you're, you know, protecting my name. You know, so the things that feel obvious, if it gives you a sense of reassurance, you can say them. It might be obvious that, of course, we're not talking crap about me. But you might need to say, like, I just want to make sure we're not talking about me and Mike when you guys go and hang out with Mike. I would feel some kind of way about that. And I don't think I want to be kept up to date on, like, his new girlfriends. Like, that's okay. You know, so letting them know. Like, hey, here's how I feel. But I just think anytime we present friends with, like, I mean, if you guys are still hanging out with him, I just feel like that's so messed up because you know what he did to me. Now, if you actually are deeply uncomfortable with it, or it says something to you about their loyalty, if you've really been screwed over by this guy and people are hanging out with him, then you can privately make this decision to be like, you know what? I think that is a reflection of her loyalty to me, that she would know that he hurt me and is still befriending him. I don't think I can get over that. That's totally your right. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I know people don't respond too well to ultimatums. So what are our other options to maybe preserve our friendships while showing our boundaries and our discomfort with the other party?
Well, it's kind of like you said how we think about, I wouldn't want to be friends with somebody who would do X, Y, Z thing. I've thought about that in not really my own breakups, but when I've seen other people break up and then like people are still friends with the ex who has done something terrible, like sometimes – a lot of times breakups are amicable. Fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then I have that thought of like, you'd still want to be friends with that person,
yeah,
after they did that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't want to be friends with you now, mm-hmm, for that reason.
Yeah. I hear you on that. Mm-hmm.
I'm also curious on the flip side, you know, we get a lot of questions about like, let's say I don't like my partner's friends,
mm-hmm,
or my friends don't like my partner. And mm-hmm, you reveal this research that's like, it helps your relationship if that is happening, if you are becoming friends with your partner's friends and whatever likability and things like that. So I know you say you don't give advice, so I'm like, I'm gonna phrase this question.
What does the research say?
Yeah, I guess I feel like it's so hard to navigate that, or especially like if I date this guy and I think he's wonderful and I'm so excited for my friends to meet him, they meet him and mm-hmm, they don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
That is hard to shake. Like, what do they see that I don't see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who should I listen to? Is my intuition off? Am I missing something? Mm-hmm. Am I rose-colored glasses? And then, you know, the second part is like, do you just say, okay, then I'm not going to bring them around, my friends? Or like, mm-hmm, do you keep trying to integrate everybody together?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so tricky. So a couple things I know for sure is, one, there's fresh research that shows that the person you like, the biggest predictor of your relationship satisfaction is not necessarily your partner, it's your friends. So it's not the person you're dating, it's your friends as predictors of how successful the relationship would be because of how much of an influence our friends have. It, with exactly what you just said of like, is my intuition off? Is it, they know you, they're sharing their opinions. They, you know, so your friends have a lot of influence on whether or not that relationship's going to work. I think for some of us, it calls to question, okay, who's in my circle? Who's in my ear? Do I have women who have practical approaches to life? Do I have women around me who all kind of have a chip on their shoulder around dating and are right now at the stage of like F men, you know, which is fine. Some of that's going to trickle on my experiences dating men, you know? So like who's in my ear, you know, because those friendships are going to influence your dating outcomes is what fresh research says. And I'll be specific. It says that for relationships that are kind of like up and down, that it's not the person you're dating that's going to determine if that up and down relationship is successful. It's your friends. So that's number one. Okay. The second thing is, yes, there's also research that suggests that couples who have high friendship overlap, meaning we share a lot of the same friends, might be more successful than couples who don't have an overlap of friends. Now, I know some people have strong feelings about that. Like, oh, my man does not need to be friends with my girls. And I get all of that. Like, yes, we need to have some boundaries. And there are some things I would think are inappropriate. Like, okay, totally. But I'm wondering if the idea is just like, because community is really valuable to your life. And mm-hmm. like, we yeah, it's helpful. Yeah, it's helpful if my boyfriend knows my friends and they have some kind of like civil relationship. And if I need support in life, they can all rally together. You know, like, so that's probably practically kind of helpful in that way. And I've also found it be helpful because, you know, my best friend, you know, she was one of my bridesmaids at my wedding. And when I fuss about my husband to her, okay, she is able to kind of advocate for him. So not like disagree with me or play devil's advocate, but she knows him and she likes him. So it's easier for her to go into a mode of like, okay, I hear you. That's frustrating. That's annoying that he did that. That was not okay. But you can be a little rough. Like you could have said that softer, you know, so she's going to advocate for him in our reconciliation together because she supports us and knows us individually as well, as opposed to friends who do not know my romantic partner. So I'm like, he's so blah, 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 blah. They're going to be like, oh my God, that sounds awful. Like you don't know him. So in terms of like helping us mediate these conflicts, you might get less of it, you know? So it's just interesting to see the degree to which the influence of our friendships is going to impact, you know, our relationships. And to your question, if you have friends who don't like your partner and things like that, you know, some insights I kind of share or things to consider are, you know, friendship is a totally elective relationship. So you can't push them to be besties. They might never be, you know? And the second thing I'll say is a piece of advice is it probably doesn't help if they don't like each other and you keep confiding in one about the other. Like she's so annoying. She like canceled plans again. I'm not giving him that ammunition. He already doesn't like her. And I'm not going to tell her like, oh my God, he's just so inconsiderate. You know, she already is like, yes, drop his ass. You know what I'm saying? he's a loser. He's a loser. I told you he's a loser. You know, it's probably not helpful. So what things are you doing that are at least not helpful to trying to create some kind of harmony, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. The example you gave is reminding me a lot of my relationship with my best friend from college. We lived together for 7 years in the city. Mm. We lived together when she met her now husband. And they listen together. So hi, guys. they listen when they drive. I know him so well because I met him with her, kind of. Not kind of. Like I literally met him with her. And we all kind of grew up together. And even though I think I've seen him, they live across the country now. So I think I've seen him maybe twice since their wedding. I've seen her much more than that. I still know him so well. And so that like really resonates with me that yeah, there are things about him that annoy me too, like as my friend, but like I know his heart and, you know, so like when we talk about their relationship or anything, you know, it's like, I deeply feel that because I think that's such an important part, important context for the conversations that we have.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it the other way, particularly with friends like her who don't live here, that I'm currently single, most likely she will not have that relationship with my eventual life partner. Like my friends that don't live here won't have that same context.
Yeah.
On my partner. That worries me sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Cause it is important that our friends know our partner or that they can, you know, give us insights and things like that. And I know one question that I encourage people to maybe consider integrating is, you know, when you meet your friend's partner for the first time, you know, we wouldn't ask her like, so what do you think of him? What do you think of him? Tell her what you think of her when she's with him. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be like, he sucks. He talked too much. And also, did he have like 6 drinks? Because I think the man has a drinking issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to go in on how he sucks. I'm going to talk about her. Like, what was she like with him? Was she quieter, less opinionated, a little giggly and acting like she didn't know things? I mean, like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, was she confident, self-conscious? Was she still her funny, loud self? You know, so having our friends meet our partners helpful in that way too, because they can reflect back to us, maybe things I can't see, my blind spots, you know, that you can point out, you kind of are not as confident with him. You were a little more passive. What's happening? You know? So I hear what you're saying about how you want your friends to be in that experience with you and to have everybody kind of all know each other. I think that's like the ideal. But I think, you know, having intentional ways about bring her in when you can, you know, obviously is like the next best thing you can do. And I love that you have a friendship circle where your friends and friends with her partners is really great. And I know a lot of people strive for that.
Yeah. I was going to say, cause the opposite is so clear and like amazing to see. Like I have a cousin, she's very just like goofy, funny, always like dancing around, joking around, like very outgoing. And then she dated this guy for like 2 years and our family loved him. And I think the main thing we loved is she was exactly the same. Like we didn't feel like one flake of her changed. She still was so like goofy, this and that. And he'd like be in the corner, just kind of like laughing like that's her. That's Emily, you know?
So cute.
And, right. And they were very young. It's a young love, like college. And like, you know, now they're no longer together. And like the family was like heartbroken because we're like, well, we just loved how like he let her just do her thing. Like, didn't it all like be like, hey, knock it off, stop. And we didn't feel that she changed. Because I feel like that's what it is. Like, and you nailed it where you're like, God, my friend's not my friend anymore. Like, what happened to my friend? And that's usually what we're annoyed about. But we'll point fingers at the partner. And it's like, the partner might really not be doing anything. It might just be our friend and whatever relationship anxiety or pressures that they're like, you know, we've all been there where you're like, almost like worried about losing someone. So you're holding yourself back. You're just not fully being yourself. And it's like, hey, what gives? Where's my friend? I want my friend back, you know?
That's so good.
Danielle, this has been amazing. And I'm sure our listeners want to know where they can find you and hear more from you.
And order your book.
Yeah, I'm so excited about the book. So the book is titled Fighting for Our Friendships, The Science and Art of Conflict and Connection in Women's Relationships, but Fighting for Our Friendships. And, you know, the whole idea of it is just to help us understand the mechanics of female friendship from an aerial view, and then also gives us tactical stuff to navigate the day-to-day business of being friends. And there's just so much stuff on TikTok and all the things like telling us to opt out, you know, you see it, the content that's like, what are the red flags in friendship and how to cut her off? And like, yeah, sometimes that a friendship has expired. But I just really believe based on my personal experiences and then to find it confirmed by the research that maybe a lot of our friendships are ending prematurely. And so my hope is to help us have more understanding and compassion, but to have it be supported by what the research says and to help people feel like, to your question earlier about like deepening friendships, I hope people read that book and they're like, man, I feel like I know how to really be seen in my friendships, to feel more satisfaction in my friendships. That's the hope. And so for women who are into that, I hope the book is helpful. And in the meantime, they can find all the things at betterfemalefriendships.com.
Amazing.
Awesome. Thank you again so much for coming on the show. This was so fun.
And very insightful. Thank you for
having me. Yes. And everybody else, we will see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.